I want you to go back to Romans chapter 8. That's where we were last week, on Tuesday. And I want to take you back there very briefly, because I think sometimes we underestimate what God really wants us to see. Last week we covered from verse 1, and we went up to verse 17, if I remember correctly. But maybe we can reiterate verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, most Christians don't want to share in his suffering. They kind of run. And the scripture says totally the opposite. So, I want you to go to verse 18 so that we can look at this again, because it's specific in its verse. It speaks of suffering again. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I would stress that you make sure that it's revelation inside. It's not revelation to the brain. It's revelation on the interior of the heart. Then verse 19 says, creation waits in eager expectations for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Well, if you could probably get a flashback in Genesis, and you see the garden in its perfection, and then you take a walk in the woods somewhere, some areas look pretty bad. If you look at some of the mountains, some of them are very devastated. If you look at the earth and its volcanic eruptions, the tsunami, all of these are really the byproduct of sin. And a lot of people don't think that way. I don't believe for one moment God ever created the earth to destroy it, because he said it was beautiful. Now, if you create something that's absolutely beautiful and it stays in its perfection, why would you throw it away?
It's no good.
Well, if it's no good, he can also renew it.
I mean, it's tainted, like, and so it has to be...
Yeah, it has to be perfected and recreated, if you wish. But see, he's waiting for something here. It says, okay, again, it will be liberated from its bondage to decay. By whom? Brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So the children of God, or the sons of God, are going to be doing something in the earth that's going to be dramatic. Verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now that's an awful lot in there. If you look at what he's really saying, he's saying that our inner man is interceding. The spirit groans inwardly. Did you ever see yourself in a crisis situation and your tongues go cuckoo? Mm-hmm. Your tongues, your Holy Ghost tongues just goes erratic. And I've seen this multiples of times. You're dealing with something in a crisis situation, your tongues just go right to the need. Why? Because the Spirit of God within you is a deposit that you have. It's only a deposit. Now, how many of you have ever bought anything on credit? Okay. I can remind you that when you buy that item on credit, it's not yours fully until it's totally paid for. If you've got a 30-year mortgage, they're not going to send you everything of your paperwork until the mortgage is paid. They send you a copy. Anybody got a clue? What do we got? We got a deposit. When we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's a deposit that we got. It's not the fullness. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the adoption. Now, how many can tell me when Jesus was fully adopted as the Son and recognized as the Son? In his lifetime, you've got 33 and a half years. When was he fully accepted as a Son?
When he was baptized?
No.
Son?
Oh,
Transfiguration.
Baptism was the opening. And he was declared to be a son, which was a weos, a very baby. But he grew up. Because the scripture says he grew in maturity. And where in God's name do the people think that if Jesus had to grow up in maturity, that they cannot need to grow up in maturity? See, and on the mountain of transfiguration, he was fully manifesting the glory from within. Yes? Where did he get the glory?
Father.
The Father's glory. That's what he was radiating. So now, they said, you know, the Lord acknowledged that he was the Son, the firstborn of many. Okay? We now are going to be adopted. When did we get adopted?
When we became saved, when we accepted the Lord, and when...
What were we when we became saved? Were we children or were we adults?
Children.
All children, every single one of us. And some of us are still children. Okay? We might have grown up a little bit, but we're not fully sons yet. Because if we were fully sons, we'd be manifesting the same thing Jesus manifested. How many people did you raise from the dead last week? See? That's gives you an example. After he was acknowledged and in the fullness of his anointing, he became a son. He was glorifying the Father through all the mighty miracles. Now, we have some people in the body of Christ that have some of these gifts operating, but they're still in a childish way. When the fullness of the sons come back, and they are just like Jesus, they will do everything he did plus, because it'll be a corporate body. Okay? Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what is, for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. How many of you still have a few weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm glad you... We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with your own plan. That's not what it said in my book. I used to like the idea that he was going to do my plan. But it doesn't say that, does it? So the Holy Ghost will bypass your cotton-picking brain and your plan and pray God's perfect plan through you. Why would he do that if you're perfect already?
Because he loves us.
Huh?
Because he loves us.
Because he loves us. And we are under construction. Okay? And we know, verse 28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Again, His purpose, not yours. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of your grandfather, grandmother, your favorite idol. Yeah. To the likeness of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So his plan is for more of Jesus in a corporate way. That's one of the reasons I believe that I was told to make sure that the slices were from one piece of bread. Divided up, but yet made whole. Every single one of you has a part of that whole in you right now. Not because the bread tasted good, but because he came so that we could have a sample of who he is and then partake. Coming into union is really communion. Coming into unity, if you stretch it a little bit, you'll see it. Amen? Verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Notice, he's the one that does the work. He, not you. Your perfection of yourself stinks. I should have got an amen there, but I didn't. I got a few ouches. I'm serious. Your perfecting of yourself is the works of flesh. You can make yourself so holy in your own sight and be so ungodly and be so full of Pharisaical thoughts that you'd put the Pharisees to shame. Is the scripture saying, for those God foreknew, he also predestined, he, to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those he predestined, he also called, those he called, he also justified, those he justified, he also, he glorifies, he glorifies. Do you glorify yourself? Did Jesus glorify himself? When they went up the mountain, who glorified him? Papa. Are you ready for the trip to the mountain? I don't know when that trip's going to be, but I know he's going to take you. Are you ready for the trip to the mountain? Close your eyes right now. Take a couple of moments. Say, Lord Jesus, am I ready for the trip to the mountain? Try it on. Go ahead. Lord Jesus, am I ready to be glorified by my Father? Where he can radiate his light out of me. Like he did with Jesus. Have I really been prepared? Or do you still have more work to do on me? Am I mature yet? Or am I still a child? And don't answer that question. But it's a good question. I stress that verse more than anything else. He predestined, he called, he justified you, and he justified you so that he could also glorify you. He will glorify you. He will do it. If you let him, if you start cleaning your own act up, and I tell you, many Christians, they're working so diligently to make sure that everything they do is perfect. And God's going to laugh at them and he's going to say, you didn't let me do it. It's not done right. It's done according to your plan, not mine. And that's going to deceive many. They're going to get caught because they're not trusting him. How many have succeeded in cleaning up a corner and find out later that it wasn't that clean? Thank you. So what have you learned when you noticed, oh my God, I just smashed my face against the wall. I did it again. I thought this corner was all cleaned up. I, being in control, is never going to work. I can remember a prophetic word that was given to me back in 1987, because I found it. 1987, came through Roby Moore. Okay, anybody know Roby Moore? Okay. He was the assistant pastor at the time. And he said, Kim, one of these days you're going to let go and let God. And he's going to perfect you. You don't have to do any work. How many know I was in a works program? Did I think I was in a works program? I had no clue. I was being holy. I was going to be a good kid. My goodness is as what? How come you guys all know that one? Huh? How come? It all came right out. Zip, zip, zip. Okay. He, try it on. Say, he predestined me.
He
also called me.
He also called me.
He has justified me.
He has justified me.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
And he will glorify me.
And he will glorify me.
When I'm ready for the mountain.
When I'm ready for the mountain.
Amen? I thought you'd like that. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Give us all things. Graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justified. Is that your verse? Look at the scripture there. 33. It is God who justified. Mm-hmm. Not you.
Yep.
Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. What kind of death is he facing?
Self.
Yes. Paul is looking at his own self, because you can go back in Romans 7. And you can see he's still struggling to get it right. The very thing he doesn't want to do, he does. The very thing he doesn't like that he does, he ends up doing it anyway. But he's declaring in faith that Jesus is finishing him up. Look at your neighbor. Say, God's not finished with me yet.
He's working on me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's working on me. And I'll be praying for you. Because he's working on you. Verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, nor the heights, nor the depths, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord for us. That's all I got.